chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then with this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, Father, again, thank you for the Word of God, and I pray you'd help us to see some truths here that we desperately need to see. And I pray you use the Word of God to help your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I've read this many, many times, and no doubt you have too, if you've read the Gospels several times, and I have to be honest, the Gospel of John is probably my favorite of the Gospels to read. I enjoy them all, obviously, and all the Word of God is profitable and everything, but we all get our favorites at times. I like the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Romans. I have certain Old Testament books I really love and enjoy and like to go back and read. But I read all of the Word of God, but this has been read many times. And the setting is simple. Jesus is risen from the dead. Peter's already decided he's going fishing, and a bunch of the other disciples go with him. And then Jesus meets him on the shore, and he asks them if they have any meat. And they toiled all night and hadn't taken anything. It's just like it was when he met Peter. They had taken nothing, and he said, "Cast on the right side of the ship and you shall find," and they cast again, and then they had 153 fish in the nets, and then they came back, and when they got to shore, they found that he had cooked fish and bread on the coals there waiting on them. And after they ate, he looked at Peter and he said, "Simon." So when they had dined, he said unto Simon, "Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And you know, it's an interesting thing. He could have been talking about, "Do you love me more than these people love me?" Because Peter was the one that always wanted to speak up and talk about how he wouldn't deny him and all those things, all men would deny thee. He could have been looking at the food. And said, "Love me more than these." Well, he could have been looking at the people and say, do you love me more than you love them? I think all three could be applicable, couldn't they? I mean, things, food, our basic needs get in the way of serving God, don't they? Our own pride gets in the way of serving God. We assume that somehow we love the Lord more than others, and when it's really not necessarily true. You know, Peter thought he loved the Lord more than anybody until he denied him three times, right? And obviously the three-time denial has a point in the three-time question here. Something to think about as well. But I noticed he said something else. He said, Simon, son of Jonas. He didn't say, my child, my son. And I'm not trying to read anything into it, but you know, that's the way. Sometimes we never get past identifying ourselves with this world. You know, the pride of life and all those things, they tend to get in the way. So there's a lot of things you could look at that and say about this. But we go on, he asked him three times, and three times, the first time he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And then the second time he said, feed my sheep. And then the third time he said to him, feed my sheep. And what is very clear from the text and from there is that God had a purpose for Peter. God had a plan for Peter. God had a job for Peter. However you want to phrase it, he had something for Peter to do. And these things were written not for Peter's sake, they were written for our sake. So God is trying to teach us something. And this is a very simple, basic lesson. And it's undoubtedly you've heard it many times before. But God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. If God saves us, He obviously has a purpose for it. There's a work to be done. God had a job for Peter to do. And we see in the book of Acts, we see Peter fulfilling that job. We see him going from the denier to the one standing up saying we ought to obey God rather than men. We see him telling the disciples it's not meet that we should leave the Word of God to serve tables. So you need to select out men to handle this. And we'll give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. We see that picture of Peter there. But he was asked three times. And after each time, Jesus said, here's what you're supposed to do. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. There's a purpose. God has a plan. Not everybody's called to be a missionary in the sense that Brother Larry surrendered his life to be a missionary or a pastor the way I've surrendered my life to be. But God has a plan for each one of us. God has a purpose. I mean, that is throughout the Bible. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are God's. In your soul and your spirit, which belong to God. These things we're supposed to do. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we do to all to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. There are things that we know we are supposed to do. We know we're supposed to be soul winners. We're supposed to be witnesses for Christ. We know these things. God has a purpose. Just as He had a purpose for Peter. Now that's a very simple, straightforward message. But I believe it's undeniable. If I go into the book of Colossians, for example, if I were to go over to the book of Colossians Paul said this, he said, in verse 23, he said, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And he said, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul said, I got a job to do. God's given me a job. God's given you a job. You have a purpose. You have a plan. God, there's a plan of God for you, and there's a purpose for you. And you know, you've heard me say it many times, you find the will of God by doing the will of God. And that's what you need to do. And if we'll do that, if we'll just be faithful to do what we know of God's Word, we'll find what God wants us to do. We'll get there. We'll learn. We'll grow. But Peter had a job. He had a... God had a plan for him. Had a purpose for him. And so God has for all his children. And the second thing that I see here as I look at it and read on it, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, in verse 18, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now the second thing I want you to see there is that this job or this plan or this purpose that God had for Peter was going to cost him something in this world. And it is the same way. If you're going to truly serve God, it will cost you some worldly things. We all like our pleasures. We all like our things that we have. But you know, many people have given up a lot of things. Jesus said, if a man doesn't hate his father, his mother, his brothers and sisters in this world, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. In other words, there's a comparison there in comparison to loving God versus loving our families and everything. God is loving God is supreme, is it not? And it cost us something. Some of you have been more fortunate, but I mean, when I got saved, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of things. I had members of my own family didn't want anything to do with me. For no other reason than I professed faith in Christ. I've lost a few things here and there, but what God has for you is going to cost you. Now it won't cost you more than it's worth, but it's going to cost you. It says this, he spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And he looked at Peter and said, hey, it's going to cost you something, but follow me. It's coming a time where you're going to be taken to a place you don't want to go, Peter. Somebody else is going to force you along. Now, tradition says, and whether this is true or not, we don't know, but tradition says Peter was crucified. And tradition also says, which we still don't know, this is just tradition that's been passed down, may have some truth to it, may not, but tradition says that Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel himself worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? That's just tradition. But when they said that another shall that thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not, Some people think in stretching forth his hands meant he'd be die by crucifixion. We don't know that. There is nothing that is concrete that we could say is scriptural that's 100% without error that we could say is definitely, yes, this happened. We actually have more surety of how Paul died than we do about how Peter died. We have more surety about how John the Apostle died than how Peter died. But the simple fact is, he was coming, he was going to give his life for the cause of Christ. That was going to be part of the cause. And beloved, I'm just simply saying, you cannot serve God without cost. David understood that. We were talking about David. When David went to when David numbered the people and God sent a plague and he was wanting to make atonement, and he went and bought the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he went there and he said he wanted to buy it for him, from him, and he said you take it. He said, my Lord, you just take it, it's yours. And he said, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. A walk with God will cost you worldly things. It will cost you something in this world. Now, you won't lose anything unless you're focused on this world and what you lose by serving God. But you can't take anything in this world with you unless it be another soul that you've led to Christ. There's nothing to take with you. No U-Haul behind the hearse. You know, the pharaohs and many other leaders throughout history, because of people's superstition, were buried with treasures and everything else. And, you know, when they finally figured out how to get into the pyramids and everything, they found out there weren't no treasures to be found because somebody else found their way in there and got it. A lot of the treasures that were supposedly buried with these pharaohs was stolen long before they ever got into it. A lot of the things that we have from Egypt and everything, these great treasures in the tomb of King Tutankhamun or whatever his name is, and all the things and the bust of Nefertiti and all the different things that are there, all those things that are there, that's just a fraction of what was buried with those people. Most of it was stolen, melted down, probably somebody went out and had a party. Somebody got wealthy, lived what they called a good life. Who knows what all happened with it? But God had a purpose for Peter, and God's purpose would cost him something in this world. That's a simple fact. And we have to realize that. It may cost you something in this world to serve God, but praise the Lord, you don't lose out. Matter of fact, the only way you can lose out is not serving God. That's the truth. And then he says this. He says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He's obviously talking about the disciple John, because that disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast, that asked him, who is this that betrayed him? That one, that was John. That was the one who wrote the book. Peter looked at him and he said to Jesus, what shall this man do? Lord, is he going to have to suffer like me? Lord, is he going to have to give anything up? Lord, is it going to cost him? Lord, do you have a job for him? Jesus' answer was, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. None of your business. None of your business. Because you're not going to be judged and stand before God and give an account for what I've done. There are a few places where we will give an account for what we should have done, or what we were supposed to do, or things like that. I will give an account for this church. I will give an account for my family, for my wife, for my children. I'll give an account for those things. I'll give an account out of what was taught and preached from this pulpit, and how I handled the church. Those things are on me. I'll give an account. I'm not going to give an account for the things that you were supposed to do. I'm not going to give an account for that. And you know, it really doesn't matter what God has for you to do. What matters is, am I going to do what God has for me to do? That's what matters. If you do nothing for God, that has no effect on me, so long as I told you the truth and I exhorted you to righteousness and I did what I was supposed to do as a pastor. If you do everything for God, that has nothing to do with me other than if I helped you when I was supposed to. I used to go to preachers' conferences sometimes, and sometimes preachers are made out of the same chunk of dirt as everybody else. Sometimes you get a bunch of preachers together and they can gossip. They can be prideful and proud. You know, got this one guy saying, oh, we had 500 in Sunday school. And this guy said, how many do you have, brother? Oh, 10. And everybody kind of looks sideways at him. That happens sometimes. It's happened before. But it doesn't make any difference. Make a bit of difference. I don't care if somebody has 5 or 5,000 people in their Sunday school. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me. It's not my job. The only way it'd be my job if you say God called me there. God didn't call me there. He called me here. This is my job. This is it. What is 5 or 5,000? Was I faithful? Doesn't matter what anybody else does. Too often we use the failure of others as excuses why we don't do anything. You know, if we were to declare a day to go out soul winning, you know, and go out knocking on doors and everything, I understand there are physical considerations and everything like that. I understand some people can't get out in the heat and do things. I understand people have physical limitations. We understand all that. But if I were to declare a day and everything like that, and you were able to go out and go soul winning, and you didn't go, it wouldn't make any difference if anybody else didn't show up. Because all you have to worry about is, did you show up? That's all that really matters to you. I mean, I grant it, we want people to show up. And that would be the thing. But I'm simply saying, in the final analysis, it matters what you did. Did you do what God wants you to do? It's the whole thing. Well, I wish people would invite more people to church. Did you invite anybody to church? Wish people would witness more. Wish more people get saved. Did you try to get anybody saved? Wish people would be kinder. Were you kind? Wish people had more faith. Do you trust God? Wish people would pray more. Do you pray? Man, we need revival. Have you got it? Isn't that what matters in the final analysis? No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Whether we live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, we die. We're still the Lord's. That's the picture. That's the understanding. God had a purpose, a job for Peter. God's purpose would cost him about something, and Peter wasn't supposed to worry about what John was doing. It wasn't his business. His business was to follow the Lord. That's my business, is to follow the Lord. My business is to follow the Lord, whether my wife follows the Lord, whether my children follow the Lord, whether my church follows the Lord. It's my business. Sadly, a lot of times churches fail when the pastor fails. Instead of saying, hey, we need to get God's man in here. This man's obviously not God's man. Get him out. Let's get somebody in here that wants to serve the Lord. And if y'all felt that way toward me, you ought to get rid of me. That simple. If you don't feel like I'm doing God's will and I'm doing what God wants me to do, get rid of me. Because you're supposed to be doing God's will, aren't you? Now, if you get rid of me because you don't like what I'm saying and I'm telling you the truth, then you got to take that up with God, don't you? But we have a purpose. We have a plan. There's a cost. And we're not supposed to worry about what other people do. We're supposed to serve the Lord. If everybody here served God the way we were supposed to, it would make a difference. It would make a difference in us. We wouldn't grow farther apart. We'd grow closer together. I always use the picture. If I sat there and said, here we are right here, I'm about 12 feet away from Brother Larry. I'm about 20 feet away from Sister Pat. 15, 20 feet away, 25 feet away, about 30 feet away from Sister Denise, about 35 feet away from Brother Donnie, and we're all here, we're all different. But you know what? If we all focused on the same point, if we were all headed for the back door, we'd get close, wouldn't we? By the time we got there, we'd be shoulder to shoulder. If we were all seeking and serving the Lord and doing what God wanted us to do individually, if we were seeking His will, seeking His face, and purposely doing it and not worrying about everybody else, but worrying about us doing God's will, guess where we'd be? We'd all be headed the right direction. We'd all get closer. Every step of the way, we get closer, wouldn't we? Closer we got to the Lord, closer we get to each other. That's just a simple fact. It's a truth. We just need to do what God wants us to do. You know, I'm going into jail tonight. Because I spent a lot of years praying, Lord, could you get me in the jail? Lord, I want to go preach to the prisoners in the jail. Lord, somebody needs to make sure they're getting the gospel. Somebody needs to make sure they're getting the truth. I prayed. And He said, here you go. I prayed for it. Now what am I supposed to do? Go in the jail. Doesn't matter if you don't come with me. Doesn't make any difference. I prayed for it. I asked you to pray for it. You all remember me asking you to pray that we could get into jail over the years? Well, here we are. Answer prayer. And if God puts that burden on your heart, you better get into jail. If He said, you go in the jail, you go in the jail. I don't know where God said to anybody here, go in the jail. I just know He said to me, go in jail. So I'm going in the jail. I love the company. But that's between you and the Lord. Is it costing me anything? Sure, it's going to cost me something down the line. It's costing me time. We know that. May cost me more than that before it's all over with. But it'll be worth it. Doesn't matter if anybody else goes, matter that I go. I'm just trying to give you examples and get you to think about this. Look, God has a purpose for your life. To fulfill that purpose will cost you something in this world. It's a given. But you will not lose. And don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You need to do what God wants you to do. You're not responsible for other people. You're responsible for yourself. I've said it many times. There's only one person in this world that I can assure does right, and that's me. I can't make my wife do right. Can't make my kids do right. Can't make anybody in this church do right. I can exhort. I can reprove. I can rebuke. I can try to do everything I can. But I cannot change a heart. Only God can do that. And you have to let Him change your heart, don't you? The only person that I can yield to God is me. I can give everybody else to the Lord and put them in His hands, but I cannot yield their hearts to Him. Only those individuals can do that. Only heart I can yield is mine. And all I can say to you now, beloved, is it is worth it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the services today. Father, help us to see that just like Peter, You have a purpose and a plan for our life. Help us to see, Lord, that it'll cost us things in this world, but it won't be that great a loss, Lord. Help us to see it for what it is, and see it to have respect unto the recompense of the reward, Father. Help us to that end, and Lord, help us not to worry about other folks, but help us just focus our heart on serving You and doing what You want us to do. Lord, we just pray for each person and I pray, Father, that You would work in each person's heart to let them see that truth. Let them see that the reproach of Christ is greater treasure than the riches of Egypt. Help us to simply trust You and do what You've called us to do, regardless what it may cost in this world. And Father, we just thank You as we leave here today. We pray again for these folks that need prayer and these prayer requests. We just ask also for the prisoners tonight. Pray that You'd work in their hearts to when they hear the Word of God and make a change, make a difference. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of souls. Lord, I pray for Your people that we'd all just focus our heart on just finding Your will and doing it and not just count all those things but dung that we might win Christ. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.